Three young boys were playing in the snow. Snow sounds like a good idea right now, doesn't it? Three young boys were playing in the snow, and an older man was standing off to the side, and he was watching them play. And then he called the boys over to himself, and he said, "If you guys will run a race with my rules, I will give the winner $5. Oh, they got excited. "Sure, mister, whatever you say." And then he said, "Okay, I want you to line up. I'm going to go to the other side of this field. And when I give you the signal, start running towards me. But the winner will not necessarily be the first person to arrive. The winner will be the one who makes the straightest line in the snow." So the first boy started running, and he watched his feet very carefully to make very sure he was running a straight line. The second boy started running, but he looked at his opponents to see what they were doing and making sure that they weren't too close or too far away. And the third boy looked directly at the old man, fixed his eyes on him, and ran to the old man. And he was the winner because he kept his eyes fixed on the goal. Philippians 3:13, "I press on toward the goal." That's what Paul said. "I press on toward the goal." He started it first this way. He said, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ." So, let me ask you a question. What is your goal? What is your goal? Is it the same as Paul's, or is it something different? You know, I think when you ask people that question, it depends on their age, how they answer it. I remember, you know, we're in various stages of life. I remember when I was a Boy Scout, my goal was to get as many merit badges as possible. I just loved it that my mother would sew those little patches on my, what do you call that? Sash, you know, and I was so proud to be a Boy Scout. When I turned 16 years old, my goal was that driver's license. Oh, freedom. Oh, I see nostalgia coming through the room right now. Some of you identify with that. A few years later, my goal was to graduate and to get into the best college that I could get into. And after that, my goal was to get a job, my first job. And then marriage came along and children came along, and my goal was to make enough money to support it all. The goals changed over time. You know, it's the process of life. We go through a spectrum. Well, where are you on that spectrum right now? As I look around this room, I would say that the majority of us are nearing the end. But you know, the young ones in here may be nearing the end too and just don't realize it. Because we're all dying. Not very good news, is it? We're all dying. We're all moving toward that time. And my question for you, old people, is what is your biggest goal in life right now? And I'm going to try to answer that question for you. The majority of the people here, the goal is to just get through it. Just get through the day. I mean, or the exhausting trip to the grocery store and unpacking all those groceries, or the endless doctor appointments, and the medical test that just never seemed to stop. Just get through it, right? But is that what our primary goal should be? Of course not. Philippians 3, once again. "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." What is the prize? Well, it ain't $5 to get a straight line in the snow, I'll tell you that. I like the answer to that question that was given by a Bible commentator. I'm going to read you this quote. He said, "There is nothing as precious as knowing Christ." In case you missed it, let me say that again. There is nothing as precious as knowing Christ. And then he goes on, "There is no goal greater than becoming more like him. And there is no prize more valuable than the resurrection." And by the resurrection, he was talking about your resurrection from the dead. Your body is going to die, but your soul is going to spring to life eternally. That's your ultimate prize, isn't it? That's your ultimate prize through Jesus Christ. That is our ultimate goal. That is salvation. Salvation is far more important, far more valuable, far more life-changing than just getting through the day. So the next time you're tempted to say that, "I just got to get through the day," remember that there are goals far better than that. What is salvation? Our dictionaries define salvation as being rescued. Rescued from what? Allergies, taxes, arthritis. Here's another little story that might help us internalize the real answer to that question. There was an old Indian chief who gave his life to Jesus Christ, and he just couldn't stop talking about it to everybody that would listen. And one night he was gathered with his other tribal members around a campfire, just talking to them about Jesus. And one of the guys said, "Why do you talk so much about Jesus?" He didn't say a word. He thought about it for a moment, and then he stood up and he went over and he gathered some dried grass and some dried sticks. And then he came and he made a little circle with them. And then he picked up a little caterpillar and put it in the middle of that circle. And then he took a burning stick from the campfire and he lit the dry grass, and the fire spread all around that circle. And the caterpillar saw what was happening and became panicky and started wiggling around as fast as it could, looking for a way to escape. And as the flames got hotter and hotter, the caterpillar even put its head up in the air, looking for a way over the flames. And all of the Indians were watching that caterpillar to see what was going to happen. And the Indian chief walked up to him, took his finger, and he put it in the middle of the circle and touched the ground. And the caterpillar rapidly crawled up his finger. And then he took his finger up, and he said, "That's what Jesus did for me." He said, "I was trapped in my own sin, and Jesus Christ rescued me from eternal fire. How can I help but talk about him? He loved me that much. I love him. I'll talk about him as much as I can. Good for him." You know what? I suspect some of you are sitting there right now and you're thinking, "Well, this is Christianity 101. And maybe you're wondering why I'm spoon-feeding it to you. Well, I have two reasons. And I'm going to give you the first reason in the form of a question. Are you excited about all this? Huh? Do you care? Does it bring joy to you? Does it bring excitement to you? Or is it a big yawn? Does your salvation through Jesus Christ make you want to shout and sing and dance? well, maybe not dance, but does it make you want to shout and sing? Or does it leave you just sitting there with stoic faces, sitting on your hands, lest you have to raise them, or worse, taking a nap? There's a very good reason why some churches are called frozen chosen. I used that term last week. I think we all know that term, frozen chosen. Many of us came from a background of the frozen chosen, and we thought that was worship, that was praise, not according to the Bible. But anyway, we won't get into all that right now. But when I talk to other people about you, and I do, when I talk to other people about you, you know what I say? I say with great joy, they love the Lord and they love to worship the Lord. And I truly believe that, brothers and sisters. I believe that of us. And I'm so grateful for it. But, here's a big but. I have to ask myself, do we consistently communicate excitement about God? Let me ask it again. Do we consistently communicate excitement about God in our lives, in our communication with other people? You know, if some of these strangers were to come in and visit here on a Sunday morning, what would they see? Would they see an alive, committed, joyful group of Christians or something else? Come on, people. Jesus Christ rescued you from eternal hell. Get more excited about that and tell other people about that. Let me hear an amen. Louder.
Amen.
Now, telling others is a way, is the second way that I want to express what I'm trying to express in Christianity 101, telling others. I know. I have said that many, many times. You've heard it. It's a common theme that I repeat over and over, and you're probably getting tired of hearing me say it. We'll get over it. If you don't want to hear that said, then get a different preacher, because I'm going to say it. Now, let me tell you about something that happened to me this week. I had a plumbing problem, so I called a plumber. And he arrived at the house, and he had an assistant with him, a trainee. And it was one of those terrible hot days that was just, you know, unbearable. And of course, like we all do, we started talking about the weather, how hot it is. And that plumber said, "And it's getting hotter all over the world." That was my opening. And I said, "Yes. The earth is in turmoil. Weather patterns and earthquakes and wars and hatred. It's much like what the Bible says is going to happen before Jesus Christ returns. Do you read your Bible?" And he said, "Well, I used to, about 10 years ago." Then I turned to the trainee, his assistant. I said, "Do you read the Bible?" He said, "No, I don't." He said, "My parents didn't have much to do with that kind of thing." And I said to him, "Well, it's never too late until it is." That was it. That was the conversation. It wasn't confrontational. It was friendly. It was simple. And I hope that I planted a seed that God will water in the minds of those two men at different places in their lives about Jesus Christ and their place in his kingdom. You can do that. You can do that. The next time your friends want to talk about the weather, steal that idea, okay? And talk to them about other things more important than how hot it is. I want to tell you something that happened here a few months ago. one of the members of this church came up to me after the service and said that, I know that you were speaking directly to me when you said that I should share about Jesus with all my family members. And I thought, well, that's not really true. I was speaking to me, and I was speaking to the right side of the room, and I was speaking to the left side of the room, to everybody. And I was just reminding all of us exactly what Jesus told us to do. Go and make disciples. And furthermore, I didn't intend to limit it to family members. I mean, it could be anybody sitting around your campfire, in your circle. But then she added this. She said, but my family does not want to hear about Jesus Christ. They don't believe what I believe, and sometimes they just get up and walk away from me. So I give up. Four of the saddest words she could have said. So I give up. Of course, some of them don't want to hear about Jesus. So what? And also, giving up means that the devil wins. We need to be more obedient to God, and that means loving other people enough to tell them about the Lord and still loving them enough, even if they don't want to hear it. And I said something to her. I said, you're witness to them through your words, but also through your life. Might not get through to them right now until after you die. Because after all, it is not up for you and me to win them to Jesus Christ. It's up to God's Holy Spirit and in His timing, not our timing. Our job is to get excited enough about the Lord to talk about Him with other people so they hear about Him and then let Him do His thing. He is the one who rescues from eternal fire. You know, one of the great things about God is that He gives us many gifts. And when He enters your life and gives you the gift of salvation, He also gives you the gift of hope. H-O-P-E. Hope. 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 That is something that will help you get through any situation that life could possibly throw at you without fear, without pain, without anxiety. He gives the gift of hope. This is one of my favorite benedictions that I use here sometimes from Romans chapter 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful benediction? People need hope. You need hope. I need hope. People need hope. And people look for hope everywhere. For instance, I heard about two people who went on a cruise ship. An older single man on the first day was walking on the decks of the cruise ship, and he saw an attractive lady in a deck chair, and she smiled at him, and he smiled back. So that night he arranged to be seated by her at dinner. And he said to her, I saw you on the deck today, and I appreciated your friendly smile. And she said, well, when I saw you, I was really immediately struck by your close resemblance to my third husband. And he said, oh, how many times have you been married? And she looked down, looked back up, and she said, twice so far. She had hope. She had hope. That was a little stupid, wasn't it? But I hope it works. I hope it helped. We have sung this many times. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. You have a blessed hope through him, praise God, that can get you through any crisis that you may face. So get excited about it, people. Even those of you in your 90s, get excited about it. It's hard for me to imagine how people can go through this life without Jesus. It's just hard for me to imagine. I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have Jesus and his Holy Spirit with me. Stephen Marsh lived in New Jersey. He had a very hard life, and he had very little money. He struggled to make ends meet. But when he was about 50 years old, his aunt passed away, and she named him the executor of her estate. And suddenly, Stephen had hope. He had hope that he was going to get an inheritance that was going to change his life. But when he read the will, this is all it said. To my beloved Stephen Marsh, I bequeath my family Bible and all its contents, along with the residue of my estate after my funeral, expenses and lawful debts are paid. That was it. So he buried his aunt and he paid off her debts. And afterwards, all that was left over was a few hundred dollars. His hope evaporated. For the next 30 years, he lived in poverty. And when he reached the age of 80, he had to go live with his son so that his son could take care of him. Some of you understand about that. And those of you who are young will understand about that someday. And so he had to clean out his house. Some of you understand that. Been there, done that. And some of you will understand that someday. He was in the attic and he found that old family Bible. And he thought, I've never even read this. So he took it down to the family room, sat down and opened it to read it. And much to his surprise, inside he saw banknotes worth a fortune. All within his reach, all that time. He could have enjoyed it all along, but he refused to even look. You have received mercy. You have received a new birth. You have received a living hope. You have received a priceless inheritance. As it says in 1 Peter 1:8, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. What does inexpressible mean there? It means words can't contain it. It's just such a great joy that I have to live it so people can see it. However, it does not mean that you are not to express to others the great joy that you have in Jesus Christ. You may say, I'm not very good with words. I can't talk to people about Jesus. Well, that may just be an excuse. But if it's true, remember this. You don't necessarily need words. You just need to let it show. Like the children's song says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's today's message. Let's pray. Father God, you have spoken to me. You have spoken to us. We know what we're supposed to do. So smile when you say that, brothers and sisters. Jesus is Lord, and share his glory with everyone you can. Father, help us to do that. We are timid. We are in routines. We are tired. Help us, Lord, to show our joy in you and share it with others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.